You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On MLB, your daily podcast with news, analysis, opinions, and interviews across baseball to keep you informed on a daily basis. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network with local experts covering teams in every market across the NBA, the NFL, and we've got a growing team here covering Major League Baseball. We're at Angels, Reds, Cubs, Pirates, Yankees, Orioles, and Twins so far, looking to add more in the near future and eventually work up to get them all covered. I am your host, Tommy Stokey. You can find my writing at LockedOnMLB.com and listen to me here. I'm a BBWAA member in Arizona, where I cover Major League Baseball as a whole and the Arizona Diamondbacks. We're talking Diamondbacks today. Not good news for them last night. But maybe you've read me at other places and seen me build other things, but come join me here at Locked On MLB as we try building a great thing here for you, the audience. Today, we're talking NL West team struck by injury once again. Last episode, it was Justin Turner and the Dodgers. This episode, the Arizona Diamondbacks and outfielder Steven Souza, who left last night's spring training game with what they call the strained shoulder, diving for a ball in the outfield. How big of an effect is that going to have on Arizona? We'll discuss. Obviously not as big as Justin Turner, but still definitely going to hurt Arizona if he has to miss some time. From there, I want to talk Greg Holland, who needs to grab that relief pitcher off the market here as opening day fast approaches. 41 saves last year, bad second half. One of those, Scott Boras clients. So it's a tough one to predict there. And then, of course, we'll end the show with a look at some significant performances and injuries, including Jake Arrieta's Phillies debut. So let's start with the Diamondbacks. Souza was acquired for a package involving Anthony Bonda in the three-team trade that also sent Brandon Drury to the Yankees. Right fielder from Tampa Bay. He's the guy that I guess is supposed to replace J.D. Martinez, who the team tried to re-sign but couldn't come to an agreement with before he went to Boston. But really, it was always going to be kind of a collective effort because they also brought in Jerod Dyson. And so that's what it's going to have to be for Arizona now, a collective effort. Torey Lovello said as much last night after the game that they feel like they are built for situations like this. When injuries happen, they feel like there is a lot of depth there, and he's not wrong. You can debate on how good that depth is, but there are some pieces there. Are they going to play Dyson there every day? Probably not. It's probably going to be some combination of Dyson. Maybe it opens the door for playing time for Yasmani Tomas, and you'll probably see a lot of Chris Owings there. Chris Owings, shortstop by trade, infielder by trade, but he replaced AJ Pollock in center field a couple years ago when Pollock broke his elbow in spring training and had to miss a lot of time. The plan for Owings, it seems and appears to be, is that he was going to be their super utility guy, so maybe he's not the one getting the most at-bats out there. Maybe it is Dyson, Tomas, and that leaves Owings to play infield if needed. My guess is Ketel Marte and Nick Ahmed are starting up the middle, and then they also have Daniel Descalso to spell guys in the middle there. So we'll see what happens there. And the thing with Tomas, he can't field. He can hit. He can hit lefties. The thing with Tomas that frustrates, I think, the Diamondbacks and a lot of people that watch are the quality of his at-bats. Sometimes he swings at three pitches that aren't even close. One, two, three, he's out. Sometimes he's locked in and he's hitting home runs and he's a force in that lineup. So he's hit and miss. Owings, the other option. Watching Owings last year before he got hurt, watching him in the eye test, and I know a lot of people don't believe in the eye test and your eyes can be deceiving, but I thought that Owings had been a lot better than he was. And so when I've looked up Chris Owings' numbers, I'm surprised to see how not great they are, because watching him, you see that he can impact the game in multiple ways. He's got some pop. He's got some extra base hit ability. He can steal bases and know, he plays defense all around. So it looks like he has been playing better than maybe the numbers say. But at some point, you can't, I guess, argue with what the back of the baseball card says. And in this case, last year, Owings hit .268 with a .299 on base. And he's a career .295 on base guy. So, you know, his .315 in 2016 was the highest it's been, not counting 55 at-bats in 2013. So he's been a low on base guy. He did hit 12 home runs last year in 362 at-bats. So I don't know that he's going to be the everyday guy. I'm going to guess that they kind of keep mixing and matching because they still want to give Pollock time off, I'm sure, as they do everybody. Maybe they want, you know, I don't know how much they're going to want to sit Peralta against lefties and get Tomas in there if he's an option. So I'm going to guess that that becomes kind of a revolving door. So Lovello is correct that they are built for this in a sense. They have some depth and probably better depth than others. But you want Steven Souza. Obviously, you want him back. That's a four-win player last year. He can hit the ball out of the park. He's been working on cutting down his strikeouts. So depending on how long he's out and depending on how his injury impacts him moving forward, as we talked about Justin Turner breaking his wrist, even when Turner comes back, how long is it going to take for him to get back all the way? Because, you know, we talk about Freddie Freeman and we talk about guys that it takes a while to build that strength back up in the wrist. So again, nothing definitive from the Diamondbacks yet on the extent of Souza's injury and what a timetable is going to be. Last year, they were very cautious with injuries, keeping guys out for extra days rather than rushing them back, and that's probably a smart thing to do in a 162-game season. Of course, they want to get off to a good start, but obviously, you want your best guys out there for as much as possible, and you want them fresh. So there's not really a – I mean, obviously, if you lose a guy like Paul Goldschmidt, he's irreplaceable in the lineup. But otherwise, I mean, they made it by without A.J. Pollock for a big chunk of last season. David Peralta has been hurt when both Peralta and Pollock were hurt 2 years ago in Chip Hale's last season as manager and before Mike Hazen was brought in as general manager. That didn't go well, but – they can survive pretty much an injury at any one position other than Paul Goldschmidt, but if those start to stack up, then we'll see what happens. So before we get to the St. Louis Cardinals, let's take care of some housekeeping. As a reminder, if your company might be interested in reaching sports fans, baseball fans, podcast fans, contact me today to talk about advertising on Locked On MLB. My email is Stokey, S-T-O-K-K-E, at LockedOnMLB.com. Our rates are reasonable. We have options as well for the local market. So, again, if you're trying to reach Angels, Reds, Cubs, Pirates, Yankees, Orioles, Twins fans, and more coming, give me an email today. The St. Louis Cardinals. That's who I'm going to lead off with for Greg Holland. They got Marcell Ozuna, but I feel like St. Louis Cardinals fans are getting a little impatient here, seeing them go by without adding another starting pitcher, seeing them not do much after Ozuna. What else have they done? They added Luke Gregerson in the bullpen, but now with Greg Holland out there, the Cardinals say they're fine with what they have. Whether or not you believe them is up to you. And whether or not you believe that Greg Holland is any sort of solution is up for debate too, because, you know, 361 ERA, 372 FIP for the entire season, 41 saves is a nice number, but second half fell off a cliff, a 638 ERA in the second half after the All-Star break, 1.4 WAR overall. So, like, he's got a big name, he's got all the saves, but looking at the other numbers, probably aren't going to impress a new front office or front office looking at these deeper numbers for what's going to happen. They probably don't want to give a big deal to him. And as a Scott Boras client, you don't really know what to predict. So is it going to be a one-year deal? What does that amount to? Who knows? Is he still looking for a multi-year deal? That's not impossible. I mean, we just saw Alex Cobb get a four-year deal, $57 million from the Orioles, so there's money out there to spend. The Cardinals certainly have that kind of money. I don't know whose ball the court is in. Is it in Holland's court where he has offers out there and he's waiting for them to improve? Is he waiting for an injury to open something up and make a team desperate? Don't know. Is it in the teams to actually make an effort? Is there really just not much interest in him? If it's not the Cardinals, I would look at possibly the Seattle Mariners when you talk about injury. David Phelps just tore his UCL and is going to need Tommy John surgery, out for the year, so that's a big loss in the bullpen there. You have Edwin Diaz in the ninth. You've got a couple other pieces there, but we talk about this a lot with the Mariners. Their window is to win now, so if you're going to spend money, now is the time to do it. I know that they're somewhat close to the luxury tax number, and I'm sure they, like everybody else, are trying to stay under that, and they're just not. They're not the big market Yankees. I don't want to use that as an excuse, but they should be spending money. I would have looked to spend money in the starting rotation probably. I would have looked at a Jake Arrieta, although at $25 million a year, maybe that got out of their price range. I would have looked at an Alex Cobb, a Lance Lynn. I think a lot of teams could have used Lance Lynn, especially on a one-year, $12 million deal that he signed with the Twins. So those are the two teams that stand out. I know that John Heyman wrote today, and they've been mentioned, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are going through Archie Bradley, Hirano, and Boxberger for the ninth. It sounds like Hirano maybe has the edge there, and they want to keep Archie in that fireman role where he can come in the seventh or eighth and pitch multiple innings. That would be probably what I would do. I would keep Archie in that role. I would probably give the spot to Hirano. And I don't know that Greg Holland is a big enough upgrade there to do that if he wants that late inning spot. But too many arms, can't go wrong with too many bullpen arms. I think people probably look at the Cubs and say maybe they need another reliever or could use another reliever or take that chance. Others would say they're probably good. The Atlanta Braves are a team you see mentioned because they just haven't spent a ton of money, but I don't know that that makes a ton of sense. Maybe they sign him and try to flip him, but you know, Aroides Vizcaino at the end there, I think, is fine, and especially this is a transition year, so I don't know that Greg Holland makes sense in Atlanta. So I am going to go with the Cardinals should be the ones to do it, unless, you know, I guess if you want to make Alex Reyes the closer for a year after Tommy John surgery and you don't want to put a ton of innings on his arm his first year back, maybe that's a possibility. Dominic Leone, I know he was better last year with the Blue Jays, brought over, I believe, in the Randall Grichuk trade. So I don't know. It just seems a little underwhelming in the back end of the bullpen there. And I know that seeing a lot of Cardinals fans, they want their front office to spend some of that money, and they would probably not mind Greg Holland over there. So let's take a look now around the league today. Some injuries that came out. Let's take a look at some of the bigger performances and some relevant news. Start with the Mets. It's been a while since we've talked about an injury with the Mets. Since maybe Jason Vargas a couple days ago. Rafael Montero tore an UCL, probably headed for Tommy John surgery. I don't know what role he was going to have, bullpen, starting rotation, whatever. Rafael Montero has been around forever, it feels like, and it feels like he's never lived up to whatever potential that at least fans have had for him. I'm surprised that we keep seeing his name as often as we can, and maybe every year feels like this is the year that Montero is going to do it, or Mets fans say maybe this is the year we get rid of Montero because he hasn't done it. But it won't be this year, torn UCL, headed for Tommy John. Carlos Carrasco last night got a bit of a scare. He took a line drive or a hit off of his foot. They called it just a bone bruise and said he's fine. So good news there for the Indians. We've talked in this section all week about the Oakland Athletics and their starting rotation. It's taken a hit with Jarrell Cotton, with AJ Puck, and today is Paul Blackburn. Forearm injury, I guess MRI came back. No structural damage or anything, so not as bad as it could have been, but not going to make opening day. More bad news for the Athletics. That's really it for injuries for the most part. So let's look at three guys with some standout performances. Michael Conforto coming back from shoulder surgery. Hit for the cycle today in a minor league game. I think he's got three home runs in the last couple days. And so original timeline looked like May 1st, but now it looks like he wants to move that up into mid-April. So that's some fantasy relevant news. It's some New York Mets news that they're getting good news there. Might want to put a higher stock on him in your draft if he's going to be back a little bit sooner and if he's going to hit like he has been on minor league baseball fields against minor leaguers. Jake Arrieta, his first start for the Phillies today. I think the couple big numbers that you can look at that are important. One, he struck out the first two guys he faced, Jones and Candelario, against the Tigers. So good to see him striking people out, striking out regulars too. He threw two innings, 31 pitches. He did give up a home run to Miguel Cabrera. That'll probably happen a time or two. I know that people are ready to write off Cabrera, but the guy can still hit. And as Arrieta said, home run hitter, wind blowing out, it happens. But the biggest number I think that'll be important is 95. That is what he was registered throwing on his fastball today. If he's throwing 95, then there are going to be a lot of teams that wish they signed him. Maybe that's just adrenaline for your first time out. Maybe that number dips as the season goes on. Maybe that was just one pitch where he got lucky. I don't know. But I think velocity is going to be what a lot of people are paying attention to with Jake Arrieta. The final guy I want to look at, Andy McCullough, the LA Times beat writer for the Dodgers, tweeted out that what a time to be alive. Matt Kemp is probably going to hit third for the Dodgers on opening day. And that is kind of crazy because it started out that he was traded for and was probably going to get waived or DFA'd or traded or dumped, and that there was no way in hell he was going to open the season on the Dodgers. And now he's going to bat third for the Dodgers. So spring training stats don't matter, but a 968 OPS, four home runs for Kemp. He appears to be in better shape. Got to be careful because he's been in better shape every time he goes to a new place. We remember the Players Tribune story about going to Atlanta and how motivated he was going to be there, and he'd come in and lose weight coming into the spring and then put it back on during the season. More concerned about his defense than his bat, but if his hamstrings are healthy, then he is serviceable in the outfield, maybe, I guess. And if he can hit, then, you know, we'll see. Maybe he'll hit his way out of L.A. and they find a way to finally move him. I know a lot of people looked at the White Sox and said the White Sox should take him on, as well as another prospect to take that salary, but we'll see. So Matt Kemp, I'm not giving you any fantasy advice on Matt Kemp, but you might want to look at Conforto. Arrieta looked good in his debut today in those two innings, probably not going to be ready for the first week, although I believe he said following his start that he thinks he could do it, but he also knows that it's more important to be ready for the whole entirety of the season, not just the first week. So he's all good with whatever the Phillies want, so I probably wouldn't expect him in that first week, but we will see. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. You can find us on iTunes now. You can find us on Google Play. We'll look for Spotify soon, Stitcher soon, and of course, you can find us on LockedOnMLB.com.